I was thinking of several passages that came to my mind in connection with the last verse that Brother Hehu brought before us, that a door was opened in heaven. And we see that John is taken there to evidently get a heavenly view of what is to come. But I think for us too, in spirit, we might be elevated above this scene by looking into glory. We cannot be physically there, but I believe our hearts ought to be there where the Lord Jesus is. And the reason why we ought not to seek a portion in this world at this time is because He is not here. The Lord Jesus is not here. The Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we do see in Acts a verse that I am sure I have read many times or heard the verse read to me, that came home just a few days ago, and that's in the third chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 21, whom the heaven, this is the blessed Lord, indeed, Mr. Darby adds, must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Isn't that a wonderful verse? The heavens indeed must receive this blessed one. He was cast out here, but the heavens must receive him. And until he comes back to make things right here in this world, we cannot expect to find things here the way they should be according to God's thoughts. But you and I, in our own lives, certainly could show that which is right, that which can be expected of those who make profession to belong to the Lord Jesus. But isn't it wonderful to see if we in spirit raise up our eyes to heaven, we see the Lord Jesus there. And we see him seated there at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat himself down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, I believe if our souls enter into this wonderful truth that the work of redemption and the salvation of our souls is complete, so complete that we see the blessed Lord sitting himself down there at the right hand of the Majesty on high, in his own power. Now we do find in Acts again that the Lord Jesus has been given that place, invited by God to sit down. But if this is a fact that the Lord Jesus is there, the one who has won our hearts, to whom we are attached, our souls ought to be there in spirit where he is already. When we think of the various times in the scriptures when the heavens were opened, what a wonderful meditation that is. We find when he was baptized at the River Jordan, when he submitted to baptism by identifying himself with the repentant remnant, not that he in any way needed to be repentant, but to be identified with them, the heavens opened and we hear the voice from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I have found all my delight." God wants to make sure that nobody ever would in any way think that the Blessed Lord had need to repent. He expresses His delight in that wonderful person. The same when on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter makes the mistake of putting our Blessed Lord on the level of those two saints of the Old Testament, Moses and Elias, God again allows us to hear that voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I have found all my delight. Hear ye Him." So what do we learn from this, beloved? Is it not that God would want us to be aware of the delight that He has in this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we too might find our delight in Him? That we enter into, in measure at least, into the joy that fills God's heart when He thinks of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have also in Acts chapter 7, again, you might say, the heaven opened. This is at the time when Stephen was being stoned, when the testimony of the Holy Spirit was rejected in Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, when they not only had rejected the Blessed Lord, but when they rejected the testimony of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, in the power of the Spirit, put before them their history and showed how they always had resisted the work of God, the work of the Spirit of God. As their fathers, so they, and they rush upon him. In verse 54, you know, they had sent in Stephen, you might say, a messenger after the Lord Jesus. "We will not have this man to reign over us." They had rejected the Lord himself. Now they were rejecting the messenger who, in the power of the Spirit, was seeking to reach their conscience. "Send a messenger after him. We will not have to reign, this man to reign over us." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Well, I believe we can certainly look at this wonderful passage in Acts chapter 7, that the Lord Jesus was standing there. Now he is not sitting like we had it in Hebrews chapter 1. When it comes to the work of redemption, the salvation of our souls, it is complete. He has sat down. But it is here now a time when one of his servants needed his aid, needed his help. And we see him standing there ready to aid Stephen. I believe we can apply it in that way, can we not? And what a comfort that is for any of us who at any time might be in circumstances where we might have to suffer in a measure for our Blessed Lord, just like Stephen did, to know that the Lord Jesus, although he is in glory, he is standing ready to aid, ready to help. We know that this passage also shows us that the history of Israel as a nation comes really to a close in this passage. Really, God had not finished, you might say, with Israel till they rejected the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And Peter indicates that in an earlier chapter, where he says that times of refreshing, in chapter 3, verse 19, he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I believe the Lord's standing here indicates that if Israel would have at this time repented, would have accepted the message by the Holy Spirit through Stephen, the Lord would have come back. Of course, he knew they would not receive it. They would reject also this message. But I believe for our hearts, it's not so much this prophetical side of things, but the fact that the Lord Jesus was standing there and Stephen recognized the heavens opened, so to speak, to receive him, you might say, and the Lord to give him aid and comfort and encouragement at this difficult time. But we also have, I believe, another side, and that is in Revelation chapter 19. I am not sure whether I have all the passages in Scripture where we see a door open in heaven or the heaven open, but this certainly is another Scripture in chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Isn't that wonderful to read this passage in view of the fact that our blessed Lord was rejected and despised? It is him that this writer speaks about here, the blessed Lord. He is no longer that meek and lowly Jesus. He is the one like the conqueror that comes forth on that white horse, and he is going to judge the nations. Psalm 2 verse 8 is fulfilled. He asked of God, and he will give him the nations for an inheritance. He will judge them with a rod of iron. You know, we take a lively interest, do we not, beloved, in this fact that the one who was so despised and rejected, put to shame by men in this very scene, he will have his day of glory and his exaltation. What is marvelous and wonderful is that you and I will come with him. We come with him. Now, I don't believe that we will personally execute judgment. The sword that proceeds out of his mouth is going to do that, but he has us with him. The armies. You know, we find that the Enoch prophesied that the Lord was coming with his angels. But I believe we also have in Thessalonians that we will accompany him. His angels as well as his saints will come with him in that day of glory. But we, beloved, have to patiently wait until that day when he will come. At this time, the Lord Jesus is not going to set things right in this scene. It's the day of his patience. And it appears many times as if God is indifferent as to all the evil that is going on in this world, the injustices, unrighteousness prevailing on every hand. Well, be not discouraged. The day is going to come. when He will make things right, when all wrong will be righted, all inequities will be removed, and when He will judge in righteousness. But above all, we rejoice in the fact that He will be glorified and honored. At the present time, beloved, we have to be mindful that the work of the Spirit of God at this time is not to make things right in this scene. I believe we see in Christendom many who sincerely recognize wrongs and try to make it right and even associate the name of Christ with these movements. And no doubt, many times, very sincere in their efforts, they realize there are things that are wrong and they should be righted, but not recognizing that God is not at this time making these things right. And we have to patiently wait until that day when He will come back in power and glory and will sit upon His throne of glory. You know, and we will have part with Him. A few verses just ahead of that, we have the bride of Christ presented, and she has made herself ready. And she is dressed in fine linen, white, which are the righteousnesses of saints. You know, it's a wonderful truth that we have received a garment of righteousness clothed by Christ when we came to Him for salvation. But this garment here, beloved, is a garment that you and I have prepared by our righteousnesses that we have manifested during the time when the world generally was recognized and characterized by unrighteousness. You know, every time, if the Lord gives you and me grace at any time to act right in any circumstance, act for God, you might say you're knitting another stitch in that garment which is spoken of here in verse 8 of chapter 19. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness or the righteousnesses of saints. You know, we should be characterized already now by what will characterize the whole world at the time when the Lord Jesus comes back to reign. Righteousness should characterize our life. Holiness and righteousness, of course, accompanied by grace, by love, by patience. Well, it's wonderful, beloved, to recognize that Christ in glory is that which is needed for you and me, and occupation with Him there that will give us the needed strength and encouragement to go on, to think of our portion there, where He is, because it's not only that He is there, but by Him entering there, He has prepared a place for us to be with Him there. And that's where our portion is and will be for all eternity. Years ago, I came into the good of the passage in Genesis 24. And it has been many times been an encouragement to my soul. In connection with the sending of the servant to fetch the bride, the servant is specifically instructed by Abraham that he should fetch that bride and unite that bride to Isaac in the land. The servant said, now if she is not willing to go with me, under no circumstances was the servant to take the bride and to unite, or the servant to take the son and to unite the son to the bride in the land of Ur of Chaldees. And what is the spiritual lesson that we can learn from that? The servant, of course, is the Spirit of God who is sent forth to fetch the bride for Christ. And this is presently his work. That is presently what God is doing by the Spirit in the gospel, going out and souls being saved. They are to be saved and to be joined to Christ in glory. Oh, if we only get a hold of that wonderful truth, that we must not try to associate Christ with all kinds of causes here in this world. The land of Israel, the land of promise for Israel, was the land of Canaan. But it's a picture of the heavenly places. We find that Isaac there is the one that has gone through death in chapter 22. And his mother dying in chapter 23 is a picture of the setting aside of Israel. And then we find that the church is being called out and to be united to Christ in glory. Oh, beloved, let us not waste our energies and try to become involved and even try to associate the name of Christ with all kinds of earthly causes. It's walking contrary to the direct order and specific directions given by the Father that the bride should be united to Christ in glory. And we, as it were, presently are on our journey, led by that Spirit to be united to Him. And you can be sure of one thing, that what occupied their thoughts and what the conversation was about more than anything else was about that Isaac. And to be with him there in that land of promise. She had been given tokens of his wealth and of his riches, just like the Spirit has given to us of the riches of Christ, has given us a glimpse of that which is awaiting us when we will be united with our Isaac in glory. Well, the Lord may use these words to encourage us, to occupy us with our Savior, with our Isaac, and with that portion that we have with him there, in order that we might be walking here according to the mind of God and also having fellowship with him, with the work that he is doing at the present time, and to be looking into the opened heaven. You know, we find in Hebrews, some have really said we could write above the epistle of the Hebrews, the opened heavens. You know, to really, by the Spirit of God, be let into all those heavenly things and to be attached and united in spirit already there, soon to be bodily in His very presence. May the Lord give us that we indeed manifest a heavenly character already now, and our hearts know what it is to be occupied with the Blessed One, the One who fills the Father's heart, who also can fill our hearts.